young boy was in one of the churches in New York, and they had a nice wrought iron looking pulpit, and it went around and kind of looked like that the preacher might have been locked up in there. And the little boy looked over his mother and says, "What are they going to do when they let him go from there?" And I guess that's a question we got to ask ourselves this morning. What are we going to do when God lets us go? Story was told about Don Sutton. He was a pitcher for the Los Angeles Dodgers. And he had gone several weeks and had not won a game. The armchair quarterbacks or the news media, those that never get in the game but always have something to say, you know, those critiquers, they were criticizing him and talking about how he was washed up and all this kind of stuff. Walter Alston called him to his office, and Don knew that this was coming. And he went in and he sat down, sort of expecting the worst, maybe to be sent back to the minors. Walter looked at Don and he said, "Don, if we are going to win, we're going to win with Don Sutton on the mound. I have made a decision. That's my decision. You're dismissed." Don went back out, and for the next 2 weeks, did not win a ball game. But he began to pitch some of the best of his career, knowing that his coach was behind him. And in the pennant drive in the World Series, he won 13 out of 14 games. I think if we look at ourselves and think about this illustration, this story, Jesus Christ would be saying to us, if the church is going to overcome, if the church is going to be victorious, if the church is going to accomplish what it needs to accomplish, it's going to accomplish it with you being in the game. It's going to accomplish it with you fulfilling the area of responsibility that you need to fulfill. Not everybody on a baseball team particularly is a pitcher. They are infielders and outfielders. And you know, some of the most important areas as well are those in the stand that are cheering on the players. Today, Super Bowl's already been mentioned. There'll be those in the stand. There'll be far more in the stand than there will be on the field. And they'll be screaming and hollering and cheering, and you can tell which side somebody is on by the way they dress, by the way they cheer. How about for us? Do people know which side we're on? Do they know who we're cheering for? Do they know who we're supporting? It's important. For you see, Jesus looked at this crowd of people that he had gathered around him, and they were fishermen, you know the story, tax collectors, women. And Jesus said to them, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." And as we reflect upon those statements of Christ, and we hear them as they echo through the ages, and they settle at Main Street on our pew this morning, and Jesus says to you and to me, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light to the world." And he reminds us that there is a danger if salt loses its saltiness. I know what it means to have that light stuff on your table. salt light, they call it. Those of you that know a little bit of what I'm talking about, you know how it is. You go through one brand or the other, trying to find one that tastes like the real stuff. Somewhere along the way, you'll find one and say, oh, this one's close. But none of it quite measures up to the real stuff. And that's the way it is for us. We can talk about all the religions of the world, and we can talk about all the good organizations that we might be a part of, and all the things that we choose to participate in. But there's nothing that measures up to Jesus Christ. There is no other hope in the world that brings a stronger proclamation of forgiveness of sins and of restored relationships in Jesus Christ. A story was told about Mother Teresa there in the ghettos of Calcutta. And a person came to her one day and said, Mother Teresa said, in this world where women don't want to dress up in the habits that you wear, what do you do? How do you do that? She said, I offer them Jesus. She said, yeah, I know, but in your... You see, in your area, since you've got more volunteers, you've got so many volunteers that you don't have places to put them almost. So what are you doing? She said, I offer them Jesus. She says, down in the ghettos where there's such hopelessness, what do you do? She said, I offer them Jesus. And for every question, every answer was the same. I offer them Jesus. As a minister, I have been in seminaries, listened to lecturers, debated theological issues. But I think it was Karl Barth who said, after all of his writings, after all that was said, they said, can you summarize your theological writings in one sentence? He said, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. There is no other hope for humanity than the message that you and I bring. There is no other hope for the world than the salt that you and I bring. If I were to ask you this morning, what is the oldest profession? Some of you might say it's that disrespectful occupation, but I submit to you this morning that the oldest occupation is gardening. When God called Adam and Eve to be keepers of the garden. And Jesus, in this passage of Scripture, was talking about salt, and I submit to you that salt mixed with manure makes great fertilizer. And God is calling us to be gardeners, planters. Just the other day, I walked with Joe into the community garden that we're looking at starting soon. Has already, indeed, the preparation has already started. Having a garden is not just a once a year process. But having a garden, having a good garden, goes on all year. I've had some gardeners in my church, and I can go with them out into the field, and they can pick up the soil, and they can smell it. I've even saw one taste it. And he can tell you what the soil needs. There was one that I went with, and it was cold in January, and he was already turning his soil and getting it ready, and he already had product growing out of his garden in January. He told me, he said, there is something growing in this garden 12 months out of the year. It was a beautiful place. Wonderful. And so God speaks to us about being light, being salt, being the garden, being the hope of the world. And like Mother Teresa, he doesn't call us to offer them some religious denomination. He doesn't call us to offer some theological bias. He calls us to a simplistic word. Give them Jesus. Give them Jesus. Let us be light. Let us be salt. Let us be fertilizer. Amen.